Hi, I'm Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily communion time, where today we're going to be talking about Hebrews chapter 8, where it says that we've been given this new covenant established on better promises. We're going to be taking communion and stirring up our remembrance that we have this new covenant that God has established with us that is based on better promises than the old covenant. Now, let's get started with prayer. We're going to pray our prayer from our 30-day prayer challenge, and this is a prayer that I pray over myself, my family, those connected to me, all of our partners, every single day. And I see God answering this prayer in new and amazing ways pretty much every day. And this prayer is mostly scripture, and I would say in everything we do in the Abundant Life Blueprint. So years ago, Proverbs 13:22 just seemed to jump off the page at me, that a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. And that inspired me to start creating manuals and systems, and it turned into a whole series of books and courses that we call the Abundant Life Blueprint, that is for my children's children, to teach them how to live an abundant life. And we have training for every area, purpose and health and finances and faith and every area of life. But of everything that we do, the first thing that I would want to get established in my children's life and in anybody's life to hopefully have a better life would be this prayer challenge process that we do of praying about this 2-minute prayer, and then taking the time to do the other half of prayer, to get still and to get quiet and to plan your day with God. And then you go about your day executing, doing the things that you know to do, not the things you're uncertain about, but doing the things you know to do and trusting that God is there with you. He's equipping you. He's empowering you. He's anointed you to do the things that you know you should be doing, and relying and trusting on his help as you go throughout the day. But let's get started with the prayer. If you want to learn more about this prayer, you can find some additional training videos on the prayer and a tracker to plan your day with God at theabundantlifetrainingcenter.com on the free tools and resources page there. But Heavenly Father, I just pray for all those who are watching the video, all of their families, their friends, those connected to them, and all of our church and governmental leaders. And Lord, we just thank you for releasing us from the darkness, for transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. And Father, I just thank you for all the good that you've done in our lives. And we just keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us, and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead and seated him at your right hand, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And Father, we ask you to bless us. Bless our time here together. Let us all come away with practical things that we can implement, along with feeling challenged and encouraged and inspired as we walk out our day after this. And Father, we ask you to expand our borders and our territory, expand our capacity to receive your purpose and grace and your love and your goodness and all that you want to do in our lives, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. And keep your hand on us and help us do today, this day, what's right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. And Lord, we ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain through the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. So like I said, every time you pray that prayer, and I hope that you'll get that established in your life. If you want a copy of the written prayer, like I said, you can go to the free tools and resources page at theabundantlifetrainingcenter.com. And I believe if you'll get that established in your life and you'll start praying that prayer, taking the time to listen and plan your day with God, and then do what you know to do. People say, well, how do I know what's right and best in God's eyes? What do you know to do? What's the thing you've been procrastinating on? Focus on doing those things and doing them with a good attitude. You keep doing that and showing up regularly, you're going to experience God showing up in your life in a whole new way, I believe. So we're going to take a look at Hebrews chapter 8 here. And this Hebrews chapter 8, the subtitle of the chapter is The High Priest of the New Covenant, talking about Jesus as our high priest. If we go back into chapter 7, just a little bit, it says Jesus is a high priest who truly meets our need. He is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priests from the Old Covenant, he didn't have to keep offering sacrifices day after day. In the Old Covenant, they had to keep, you know, making animal sacrifices day after day because those sacrifices were not perfect. He didn't have to keep offering sacrifices first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people because he was sinless. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. For the law, the Old Testament law and covenant, appoints as high priest men in all of their weakness. But the oath, God gave an oath, and he has sworn, he says, you're going to be a priest forever. God says he will not change his mind. You'll be a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek was the priest from the early days of Genesis when Abraham encountered Melchizedek. But the Son, who has been made perfect forever. Then it goes on in chapter 8 to say the high priest of the new covenant says, Paul says this. Well, I think it's Paul that writes Hebrews. We don't know for sure. It says, now the main point of what we're saying is this. We do have such a high priest, talking about Jesus, who sat down at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven and who serves in the sanctuary, the true tabernacle set up by the Lord, not by mere human beings. So he serves in the true tabernacle. And every priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. And so it was necessary for this one also to have something to offer. If he were on earth, he would not be a priest, for there are already priests who are offering the gifts prescribed by the law. They serve at a sanctuary that is a copy and shadow of what is in heaven. This is why Moses was warned when he was about to build the tabernacle. See to it that you make everything according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. The pattern that Moses was building the tabernacle on was a copy of what was in heaven. God showed him a glimpse or a picture, and he built a copy of it here on the earth. But in fact, the ministry Jesus has received is as superior to theirs as the covenant of which he is a mediator is superior to the old one, because the new covenant is established on better promises. The new covenant is established on better promises. So Jesus is the mediator. He's in between. He's mediating between God and man. And we meet together. When we take communion, it's symbolic of us meeting together with God at the communion table in the middle in Christ. And he is the high priest and the mediator of this new covenant, which is established. This idea of established. We've been talking a lot the last several weeks of being established. What does it mean to be established? It means to be fixed. It means to be steadfast. It means to be put in place, set permanently in place. God has established this new covenant with us. But then we have a role to play in getting our hearts established in it. God's already established it. We see here, it's been established. But we have a role to play in getting this covenant, this new covenant of love, this new covenant of peace that's based on better promises, getting it established in our hearts. That God is going to, we're going to see here with this new covenant, God's going to write his laws in our hearts, on our minds. God's going to be with us. He's going to give us continual love and grace all the time, even when we miss it, based on better promises. Because in the Old Testament, if you messed up, you could get stoned to death. You could get whipped. You could get all these punishments if you missed it and you were not right with God. And we can have this righteousness in this new covenant that's based on what Jesus did, not what we did. And so it's been established. We have to get this established. To be established for us means we become steadfast and fixed and permanently in place. And when we are fixed, when our hearts are established, I believe it's Psalms 112 says we are free from fear because perfect love casts out all fear. So we have to get this new covenant established in our hearts. So if we keep reading in chapter 8, this is verse 7. For if there had been nothing wrong with the first covenant, no place would have been sought for another. But God found fault with the people. So God, the new covenant, the problem was with the people. They couldn't keep it. God kept his end of the covenant. Covenant is a partnership. It's an agreement. And God was keeping his side of the covenant. But the people were not keeping their side of the covenant. He found fault with the people. And so he said, I'm going to make a new covenant. So God says, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel. And we see later with Paul and with Peter that the Gentiles, you know, everybody else has been given the opportunity to get into this covenant as well. And I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt. It's not going to be like that covenant. It's going to be a different one. Because they did not remain faithful to my covenant and turned away from them. So there was a problem with this covenant. This covenant, the people could not keep. So God says, I'm going to make a new one. I'm going to make a better one, established on better promises. And this is the covenant I will establish with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds, and I will write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. For I will forgive their wickedness, and I will remember their sins no more. By calling this covenant new, he has made the first one obsolete. And what is obsolete and outdated will soon disappear. So in this new covenant, God's going to write his laws on our minds. He's going to put them in our hearts. He's going to give us a new heart. He's going to give us his mind. He's going to give us his spirit. He's going to remember our sins no more. He's going to forgive our sins. All of that is given to us in this new covenant. And as we take communion, it's a reminder of this, that because of what Jesus did, God has given us this new covenant. And it's not about God took the people out of the way. Because in the old covenant, the people could not keep it. It was too much for them. They could not do it. But this new covenant, God says, you know, I'm going to move you out of the way. And I'm just going to choose to do good for you. I'm going to give you grace and loving kindness all the time. I'm going to remember your sins no more. And I'm going to be with you. You're going to be my people. And I'm going to be with you. Because of what Jesus did. And so as we take the bread here, every time we take communion, we do so with holy awe and reverence for God and for Jesus. We've got this amazing high priest, this mediator of the new covenant. He can navigate us through the troubles of life. And every time we take the bread, we're proclaiming the death. I was just reading it this morning. We're proclaiming the death of Jesus. I think it's 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I believe. We're proclaiming the death of Jesus. And why is that important? Because every time we proclaim the death, his death was what closed out and fulfilled the old covenant. Think about in a estate planning or in the case of a will and estate planning, nothing happens until somebody dies. And his death was what closed out this old covenant and triggered or activated or initiated everything in this new covenant that's established on better promises. His death was the transition point. And his death, receiving that into our lives, is supposed to be the transition point for us as well. Because now we've got God with us. God is with us all the time. We will be his people. We will be his treasured possession. And he will be with us all the time. And if you've got God with you, a God of all love, of all grace, of all hope, of all peace, who's with you, helping you, empowering you, he's anointed you to do things that you cannot do in your own strength because he's with you. And so, on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he gave thanks for it. Father, we thank you for this bread and what it represents, and we ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. And he took the bread and he said, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So if you have your bread, you can take your bread. Then after supper, Jesus took the cup. He says, this is the cup of the new covenant. This new covenant has been established on better promises. God is with you. He's for you. You're going to be his people. putting his giving his giving you everything he has, his spirit, his love, his kindness, his goodness, his presence, his kingdom, his power, everything he's got. He said, I'm going to give it to you in Christ. And Christ is the mediator. We can meet together with him in Christ. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for this cup and what it represents, and we ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. So every time we take communion, it is bringing the sacrifice of Jesus. It's a time of remembrance. We're bringing the sacrifice of Jesus that happened over 2,000 years ago. And we're bringing it into the present moment right here. And the present moment is right where God is. He is I am. He's not I was. He's not how I will be. He is I am right here in the present moment. And we're bringing his sacrifice into the present moment. And we're making it relevant and active and alive in our lives right at this moment. And that should be changing the trajectory of our lives. We should go forward from communion different. Should cause some transformation and change the trajectory of our lives. But then we've got to walk it out. We've got to walk it out. And the number one thing we can do to walk it out, keep your eyes fixed on the things above. Keep your eyes fixed that you've got this new covenant established and set permanently in place, that God is with you. He'll remember your sins no more. He's with you. You are his people. And with him, nothing is impossible. Set your eyes on that. Fix your mind on that. And receive his love and his goodness and all that he wants to do for you. And let that empower you to do good. To do good and be a blessing to people all over the world. And to walk in love and to keep the command of love. Remain in his love and do good. Do what you know to do. That's how we follow through. That's how we begin to walk this thing out. Keep your eyes fixed on the things above and aware of his presence with you, empowering you to do the things that you know to do. Do what you know to do and walk in love. I believe if you'll do those things, you'll see some major shifts in your life. But I hope this has been helpful for you. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us, you can go to theabundantlifetrainingcenter.com.